Yeah, well, just a little question for the kids again. I want to know if there's anybody in your circles, anybody that you know, that you think about, that you don't have to tell me who they are, but I just raise your hand if you can think of someone that makes you happy and that every time you see them, you want to give them a hug. Anybody can think of anybody like that? You don't have to tell me who it is. Anybody have anybody you can give? You're like, yeah, that person, when I see them, I like to give them a hug. All right, we got some hands. Couple. All right, couple more if you're thinking. What about if you think of somebody when you see them, you feel kind of confused. You're not sure what to do. If you should run and give them a hug or run away from them, you're not sure. They make you kind of confused. Anybody that you can think of like that? That's a little harder. Got a couple hands? And what about anybody that you see and you just want to run away from them? When you see them, you just turn around and run. Anybody like that that you have? Yeah, a couple people? Yeah. Well, we all have all those kind of people in our life. Of course, we don't always have to react the way we want to react, hopefully as we get older. But we all have those kind of people in our lives. And the picture, though, that Lydia read, thank you, Lydia, for reading this so well for us, is of a group of people, of all kinds of different people, that are all together in one place, joyfully worshiping the same God. This is Revelation 7 that Lydia read. But last week we looked at Revelation 5, and you remember what it said in Revelation 5, right? Jesus, the Lamb, was worthy because he purchased people from every tribe and tongue and language and people. Now, two chapters later in Revelation 7, we see them. Here they are. These are the people Jesus purchased that we read about in Revelation 5. In Revelation 7, it says that they saw a great crowd from every tribe and tongue and language and people. The same thing that it said in Revelation chapter 5. And they were all happy to see each other. And they were all very happy, especially to see Jesus. Now, how can that be? I mean, we just remembered there's people in our own lives close to us, in our same kind of groups of people, that we don't always enjoy being with. But this says people from every tribe and language and people and nation. Now, as we look at our world, we know that that doesn't happen very much. Because there's always groups that are fighting. There's groups that are fighting right now. And there's groups that have been fighting all throughout history. So if you imagine this group, there's European Americans and there's Native Americans in this group. There's Han Chinese and there's Uyghurs, if you've been following the news from China at all. There's Serbians raising their hands next to Bosnians. There's Arabs dancing alongside of Jews. There's white South Africans and black South Africans and colored South Africans. And yes, even Republicans and Democrats. The list can go on and on and on. What is the power that brings these groups together? It's the same thing we read about last week, right? That great anthem that Chad led us in. And they cried out, verse 10, in a loud voice, all of these people waving palm branches, crying out in a loud voice, verse 10, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And then it goes on in verse 12, be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and glory and praise. All of these people and all of these groups, all the barriers that would keep them apart, the hatred that would cause them to destroy each other, all of that energy is now channeled into worship among this great celebration of every kind of person in the history of the world. And so we see that to the extent that our identity and hope are wrapped up in the life and salvation of God, to that extent, we will experience spiritual unity. And to the extent that our identity is in any other earthly reality or group, to that extent, we will not be able to experience the identity, the unity that God wants us to bring. And usually we think of unity in many ways as staying together, not going away, not leaving. And usually we think of that in terms of kind of human structures and forms and groups, but we know that actually there's a lot of groups that stay together that have very little unity at a heart level. And there's people that kind of go their own ways, still staying connected in a heart level unity. Even in the Bible, we see Paul saying, I'm going to go to the Gentiles, telling Peter, you go to the Jews. And part of that was their calling, and part of it was just practically, we'll probably do better if we're apart. So let's just continue to stay rooting for each other, encouraging each other, and yet going in some different directions and different areas. So the unity that God is bringing together is much more than just a human structure or human form. It's a unity of our hearts being melted together in praise and worship of the same God. So when Jesus is everything to you and Jesus is everything to me, then there is no earthly reality that can break that apart. Isn't that beautiful? When Jesus is everything to you and he is everything to me, then there is no earthly reality that can separate the bond that we share. And there is no practice that deepens our identity in Jesus more than worship. Because worship at its core, as we've been saying, is that total surrender of all that we are to him. And as we give all that we are to him, our identity in Jesus deepens, and it goes deeper than any other earthly reality that often defines our relationships. And the Spirit of God is able to take our lives and weave them together. And we know that this crowd was totally surrendered to Jesus. How do we know that? Well, like Lydia read, they had come through great suffering. Says in verse 14, these are the ones who had come out of great tribulation. They had walked through the worst that this world could possibly offer them. We don't know why that is, but it could have very well been because of some of the people in these other groups that were worshiping with them now. Much of the suffering that comes on this world, we know, is from between people, right? Because somebody did something bad or at high levels of power or at individual relationships that causes someone else to suffer. Of course, war is the great example of that, but there's many others. So these people went through great suffering, and yet it says they washed their clothes in white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they didn't look to any other identity or source of hope or freedom or comfort. They continued, even in great suffering, they continued to bow their knees before Jesus and say, you are our hope. You are our life. You are the one we're looking to. We are waiting for you. We are longing for you. And we don't get to see what their lives ended up like on earth. But we do know where it landed them after earth. We do know that their faithfulness, everything they longed for, their hope and faith that Jesus was actually the salvation of the world is now coming to pass. And they get to sing that song for all of eternity. Because they did not give up. They did not let go of the hope that they had. And they are so close to the glory of God that all of the earthly realities that may have caused or encouraged the suffering that they experience on earth are melted away in the glory of God shining around them. What an incredible picture. They're so close to the glory of God that that glory streaming from the throne allows them to be in perfect unity with people that could have been doing very mean things to them while they were on the earth. And God says that these people who continue to hope in Jesus, who wash their robes in white, who don't give up on the hope of Jesus, who don't turn to hatred and division and self-protection and all the things that our world would push us to, this is their reward. They are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to springs of living water. That one that we saw reigning in chapter 4, as we said last week, not only lives in unapproachable light, as it says, but he now extends that unapproachable light over his people. We get to live in unapproachable lights. This is what we were created for. Perfect, unhindered, intimate relationship with God and with each other. That's why God made us. That's how he made us. That's how we work best. That's how the life of God that was meant to flow through our bodies actually comes through our bodies, because of this unbroken, unhindered, intimate relationship with God and with people. Now, I have no idea how much of that we get to experience on this earth before we go to heaven. But I am very sure that it is more than we have yet experienced. There's more, deeper, unhindered, unbroken, intimate relationship with God that leads us to unbroken, unhindered, intimate relationship with people than we have experienced. But it is what God continues to want to pour out to us. So as we give ourselves to Jesus in worship, as we allow all of ourselves to be caught up in the glory of Jesus, then this reality that will one day be in its fullness becomes increasingly our reality. And there is no other hope that our world has to come together and live in the fullness of what Jesus has brought to us. Amen. Are you hungry for that? Deeper, unhindered, intimate relationship with God and people. Lord, would you bring that to us? God, we see it in these verses. You didn't put it here to tease us or to give us some pie in the sky hope. You gave it to us because this is what you've invited us into. Because this is why you died. This is why you let yourself be slain. Because you were so longing for people to have unhindered, unabated, intimate relationship with yourself and with each other. You are the one who unifies. And the deepest grief of our hearts at the brokenness of our world does not even come close to the deep grief that is in your heart because of the brokenness of our world. But we are not a people that grieve without hope. You have poured out your spirit and said, come on, I will create it. I will do it if you will give yourself to me. So we hear that call again this morning, Lord. And we say yes, Lord. I want to just take a second and just invite us to reflect, as I did with the kids at the beginning. Is there a group of people that's hard for you to love? Maybe people with certain political views or certain religious views or certain worship styles, skin colors, income levels, certain issues or interests. God says this morning, even that, my love is big enough. So I just invite you in this moment, if groups come to your mind, just invite Jesus, Lord, let me see them as you do. Even as Audrey invited us to imagine, Lord, increase my imagination so I can see them and feel the love that you have for them. And as you lift it up, just let this glory of God that we've been meditating on in Revelation, the wonder of the one sitting on the throne and the wonder of the great love of the Lamb, just let it fill our imaginations in worship. Yes, God, your love is big enough for every tribe and every tongue and every language and every people. Your love is big enough for those I understand and those I do not understand. Your love is big enough for those who make me smile and for those who make me cry. Your love is big enough for those I am attracted to and those I am repelled by. Your love is big enough. No one gets a pass. God, would you increase our hunger for that to be our reality today? Increase our hunger, God. Help us to see the excuses we make of why someone is not worthy of love, God. And help us to surrender them at your throne. And today we give up our human efforts to try to cultivate love for somebody, God. We give them up. We don't have it in us, but you have it in you. So would you do it in us, God? Would you do it in us, God? You are the one who unifies, and we worship you, that we may experience the unity with you that you have created us for, and the unity with each other. May it be so, Lord. May it be so, God. In Jesus' name, amen.